south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, now, here's something we should talk about. No one talks about this on those expat blogs. There's something fishy going on here in Latin America regarding expiration labels on food products. Well, you know, almost everyone with a half a brain up in the States is tuned into the idea that you buy stuff that's got some time left on it. You do trust those printed expiration dates, don't you? Or not? We kind of take it for granted that first world people with IQs greater than that of George Bush do read labels, correct? Whereas here in Latin America, the middle class, lower middle classes, well, they don't read labels at all. Not that upper middle class and wealthy Latins read a label, but at least the ones with a little education will check out what they call la fecha de vencimiento. That would be the expiration date. I'll tell you, only in the past 3 or 4 years have those things been popping up regularly. Before, let's say 5 years ago, there rarely was an expiration date unless it was an imported product. Now, there's a lot of funny things going on here in Latin America when it comes to that stuff. In fact, and I don't think this would ever go down in the States, Costco, which is a 100% first world franchise import, so you'd think they'd know better, but since nobody gets sued down here, I guess they can do what they want to a degree. Anyway, Costco would typically put out a couple of pallets right in the aisle containing foods that had recently expired. They'd be heavily discounted. For example, I remember just a couple of years ago, right after Christmas, there was a huge half-price sale on Kraft Parmesan sprinkle cheese, as well as cottage cheese. American cheese, yeah, right. I think it's 2% cheese and 98% plastic. And I'm being kind here. Then there was some expired yogurt and other dairy products. Wait a minute, so-called dairy products past their expiration date? Can't be a good thing, huh? Now, I don't know what happens to food up in the States when it's past its expiration date. Maybe they donate it to halfway houses or prisons or give it to homeless people, I don't know. Though I kind of doubt it since people are prone to sue at the drop of a hat. Even if you give it away if someone got an upset tummy, I'm sure the lawsuits would fly. Yep, that's what you get when your government is stacked with shysters. Reason 2,746 why I'm so glad I'm living here in Latin America. Because here, when people have a dispute, they work it out themselves because if you file a suit, it takes months, even years, to get to court. In fact, I was reading a Latin paper just yesterday, and there was an article about a pusbag diputado, that would be a congressman up for trial, been stealing big time for years. And his case is just now being heard in court after 4 years. How'd that happen? His lawyer filed over 100 amparos. Those are postponements. And get this, during that time, that corrupt lardbag SOB, by the way, a married SOB with 3 kids, flew back and forth to Miami with his hot young secretary 11 different times. That was while he was awaiting trial. And naturally, he expensed it to the government. Yep, those frequent shopping trips to Miami are a vital part of the job. And now, his case is coming to trial. Well, guess what? The initial judge has retired. Most of the witnesses have moved away, and the ones that haven't can't quite remember the facts. Exactly the lawyer's plan. Yep, that's why people rarely sue. But I digress, as usual. Where were we? Oh yeah. Imagine the millions of tons of food that go to waste every year just because they passed their date of expiration. And you know what? After checking into this thing and reading a few articles about that very subject, first world food quality and sanitation experts will tell you they can be arbitrary. And even foods that last practically forever, like honey and coconut oil, are required by law to have an expiration date on them, even though it's pretty moronic. For example, archaeologists have found perfectly good wine and honey in the tombs of the pharaohs. I know. A lot of you gringos and expats are religious about those expiration dates. One day expired and suddenly it's unfit for human consumption. Yep, my mom's like that. Won't even give it to the dog. And then you've got those gringos and expats down here in Latin America. When they come across something that's expired in the pantry, they hand it off to the maintenance guy or cleaning lady. Might that not be just a touch racist or classist? I know, it's better to give than receive, especially if you won't eat it. After all, your help will never look a gift horse in the mouth. Man, what a saying. Where's George Carlin when you need him? Oh, and about food labeling. Yep, down here in Latin America, every country has now passed food labeling laws, which is really just a way for Latin governments to gouge importers. In other words, for example, if you up in Seattle or Cleveland had a food product you wanted to sell, let's say in Honduras, first you'd have to get permission from the Honduran Department of Health and Sanitation, whose offices I guarantee you are scruffy and unsanitary themselves. Then they'll send your food product off to a government-authorized lab for analysis. Authorized meaning some bigwig in government has a piece of it. And those labs, I've seen them. They're not much better than a kid with a Gilbert chemistry set holed up in his dad's garage. And even though your product's been approved and is sold everywhere in the States, Latin governments have found a way to put the gouge on importers by forcing them to have the product analyzed in their country too. If it's a product that's already being sold up in the States, they always rubber stamp it. Again, it's just another government gouge. Same thing, as I mentioned in a past show, with architectural plans. You could bring down plans that were designed by America's number one architect, and they still have to be completely redrawn by a registered Latin architect. It's a way to give the local guy work and the government to pick your pocket. Then what they'll do is they'll take your product with its food labeling in English, and they'll translate that into Spanish. And before you could sell your product in a supermarket, Costco, Walmart, or even local ones, whatever, the law states you'll have to have those new labels printed up in Spanish, and you'll stick them over the original labels in English. So when you buy an imported product, let's say peanut butter, it'll be the regular Skippy or Planters peanut butter jar you're used to. That is, if you go in for that stuff, you know, peanut butter has added sugar and all kind of chemicals now, so I make my own. However, if you don't make your own, you'll find Planters and Skippy exactly in the same jar as you have up in the States, except there'll be a nutrition and ingredient label plastered over the old one in Spanish. Oh, and there's another thing that occasionally happens here in supermarkets and tiendas that would certainly get the owners jailed up in the States. And I got this info straight from the famous Captain Mango. You see, he lives in a nice area of a big Latin city, and across the street is a mall with a pretty good-sized no-name supermarket that carries a lot of imported products. And not so long ago, he mentioned to me that he caught some of the workers there removing or remarking the expiration dates. So you might ask yourself, how long has that been going on? Why would it even do it when the average Latin person doesn't even care? Well, that's because Captain Mango, like I said, is in a very nice, kind of high-end area, and there's a first-world style business and hotel district nearby. So they get their share of people flying in for conventions and business stuff and such. And obviously, people who can afford to fly into a country will most likely read the labels, at least the date of expiration. Otherwise, a supermarket owner would never even bother. I can vouch for that myself because I always look at the labels, and many, many times I've been in a store, even big supermarket chains, and they'll have expired stuff right on the shelf. Of course, I'm talking about stores off the gringo tourist trail now. And you know, if you're talking about on the trail, like Costa Rica, for example, gringos read expiration dates all the time, and they'll notice right away, and they just won't buy it. Which brings us back to Captain Mango's comment. So, how much of that date changing is going on? I bet a lot of it in Costa Rica, Cancun, and any place else the gringos hang. Which begs the question, how bad or damaging can it be to eat something that's ostensibly past its prime? Well, as I started saying before, food and sanitation experts who decide what an expiration date should be, sometimes they're arbitrary. And for example, an expiration date for a food product up in Canada could be quite different from one down in Florida. Even if they were packaged, boxed, or canned the very same day, in the very same factory, they'll have the same expiration date, but where they end up being consumed and stored will have a lot of bearing on how much longer they'll last past that time. By the way, Prevention Magazine, I'm sure you've heard of that, they say that the more processed a food is, the longer it will last past its expiration date. Kind of sad, but it does make sense, huh? My favorite example, Wonder Bread. Now owned by the biggest bakery in the world that's in Mexico, called Bimbo. A loaf of that stuff will outlive the pyramids. Animals don't like it, bacteria don't like it, even cucarachas won't eat it, and that should tell you something. So then, what good is an expiration date on Wonder Bread? Well, as mentioned, they have to put some kind of date on it. However, I think it would scare some people if they saw that the real expiration date was somewhere in the 23rd century. You hear that, Elon? Perfect for the Mars trip, huh? These days, if a label hasn't have a single expiration date, it might have two other dates. A sell-by date, followed by the date that says best used by. A while ago, I stumbled on a website, I'm sure a lot of preppers check this one out, where you plug in the food product that you have and it tells you how many days, weeks, months, even years the product is good for after its expiration date. And they give you the proper storage guidelines and tips. As I remember, some of those foods, when stored right, could last years and years beyond that expiration date. And they also talked about how the nutritional value dropped off with time, but not immediately. Good information for preppers, but you know, there's no need to prep if you live in Latin America. But you knew that already, right? So really, it's buyer beware. You have to take all that expiration date stuff with a grain of salt. Oh, and do you know what's the best expiration detector of all? Your nose. Oh, and I ran into another very interesting website recently. I'm sure a lot of preppers look at that one too. That site gives you the lowdown on expiration dates for medicines and drugs. Another somewhat controversial subject because they all have definite manufacturing and expiration dates on them. But never have I seen a label that says best if used before such and such date. With medicine, too, it turns out some of them will last years and years past their expiration date as long as they're in a cool, dry place. Sure, all medicines and drugs lose potency with time, but there are websites that'll give you charts and information on that timeline. But there is a wild card with all food preparation and storage here in Latin America. Remember, 80% of Latin America is in the tropics, and it's damn hot and humid much of the time. Unless, of course, you're in the Altiplano. And I've noticed dozens of times myself, something that's supposed to be frozen in a supermarket or a tienda is not really frozen solid like it should be. Because you see, especially in the smaller tiendas, they use these old rusted out freezers, bad seals, leaky compressors, no maintenance, you know the drill. Not to mention, even under the best of circumstances, power does go out here in Latin America, especially during the rainy season if there is a lot of wind. I don't mean it goes out for days, but it goes out for 10, 15 minutes, an hour, sometimes 4 or 5 hours. Now, I don't want to scare you. Don't panic. For example, in my own case, in the last year, I'd say power's gone out maybe 10 times. And I know some of you out there are thinking, that's totally unacceptable. Well, here's the thing. I'd say 8 of those 10 times, the power was out for less than 3 minutes, which when you think about it is tolerable because it comes right back on. We're talking about over a period of a year now, and the other 2 times, it went out for 5 or 6 hours. Once, because during the rainy season, a big tree fell on a power pole nearby, and the second time, because the electric company was repairing some lines somewhere. So, when you hear someone say their power went out 10 times in 1 year, you need to hear the rest of the story or you just might panic. Now, when you get into discussions with local Latins about the power company, they're as pleased as punch. What? Well, that's because every year the power is more and more dependable and stable. Why? Well, that's because Latin governments, who always had monopolies on power companies and utilities, have sold off or partnered up with private electrical distribution companies, and privatizing utilities in general always tends to increase service and dependability. Though, admittedly, it's always more expensive than when the government ran it. Because unlike government, they're constantly maintaining, upgrading, and modernizing the infrastructure. But still, almost every expat gringo I know who owns his own place has a generator around the house, just in case. Whereas local Latins who own and operate small tiendas and supermarkets, they don't have generators and that's the problem. If the power goes out for more than a couple hours, the freezers melt down. And when it kicks back in, things are going to freeze up again. And you get that cycle going for a while, you got problems. You'll often see on the frozen stuff a secondary buildup of ice crystals. You know what that means, right? It's been thawed to some degree and refrozen, who knows how many times. That's why I don't trust a lot of the frozen food in small tiendas. Now, you might be thinking, that doesn't make sense. Johnny just said the power went off twice in the last year for a couple of hours. Any freezer, even one with bad seals, should be able to maintain its temperature for a couple of hours. Well, here's the story. You see, many of these small tiendas have power outages fairly regularly, sometimes for 12 hours or more. Why? Because their Latin owners occasionally forget to pay the electric bill. Either they're short on cash or it's the mañana time thing. Who knows? And you know, here in Latin America, you don't get a cutoff notice. They just cut you off. And now that private firms have a piece of the power company, they're very strict about paying that bill. Not like the old days when the government used to run it. Back then, sometimes you could be a half a year behind on your bill and they still wouldn't cut you off. So with some people, there's still that mentality. So these days, if they cut you off, then you have to go down to the nearest Empresa Electric, that would be electric company office, pay up your bill, and it might take them 6 to 12 hours to come and hook you back up. Over the years, I've actually been in a few tiendas that were blacked out, customers still coming in and out, buying stuff, of course. Just because the power's out, people don't stop going in and out of freezers and coolers. Meanwhile, the people on the rest of the block have power. Why? Because they paid their bills. All right, enough said about that. Only to say, when you're buying something from the frozen food department of any store, big or small, squeeze the package, make sure it's solid all the way through. Make sure it doesn't have a secondary or even tertiary growth of ice crystals on the outside of the package, because that usually signifies it's been thawed and refrozen. Who knows how many times? Not good. But on the bright side, I have to say, as far as pharmacies and drugs, they're very good at having expiration dates way out into the future. Maybe that's because Latin America is jam-packed with pharmaceutical companies that make practically all the generics for the world. So the stuff's fresh and hot off the presses, right in their own backyard. Even so, in all my years down here, I've never seen a drug or pharmaceutical product that was sold or meant to be sold with an expired date. Which begs the question, a lot of questions being begged here. Why does bottled water have an expiration date? I mean, some of the purest water sitting deep in the Earth's aquifers is millions of years old. That would make that stuff a couple of 100,000 years past its expiration date, right? Well, the answer is, in many of your United States, for example, in New Jersey, there's a state law that requires all food products to display an expiration date of 2 years or less. Government overkill again. That does explain why coconut oil and honey have expiration dates, doesn't it? All right, full disclosure here. You'll never catch me drinking water out of a plastic bottle. Oh, and here's something you might want to know. When you go into a grocery store, you're not going to find milk ever in a cooler. It's always in one of those little square cartons on the shelf. It's been UHT'd. That's ultra-high temperatured to death. And powdered milk is huge down here. They've got whole aisles full of this stuff. I rarely eat dairy products myself, but just to let you know in case you do. And also, if you're into whole raw milk, which I understand they'll put you in jail for up in the States, there's no laws at all against it. You can get it down here. Not to mention, every neighborhood, well, at least middle class and lower middle class and poor neighborhood, has its little goat milk man. If you're on his route, he'll come to your door every day. And he'll milk a goat or two right in front of you. Man, you can't get fresher than that. Though, watching it kind of gives me the willies. But down here in Latin America, especially in the lower and middle class neighborhoods, it's kind of a tradition. And certainly 100 times better than cow's milk. Though cows down here are certainly much less drugged up than ones in the States. Yeah, and they get around too, and often not where they're supposed to be, which is why I have a pellet gun. No real damage done, but they do get out of your garden in a hurry. So as you might imagine, after hearing a lot of the stories on this show, most of Latin America, especially off the gringo tourist trail, is in kind of a time warp. If you were to come down here, get some boots on the ground and see it for yourself, you'd say, man, that's a hell of a good thing. So how do gringos and expats fit into that? How do they get along? How do they make connections? Doctors, lawyers, plumbers, electricians, housing, insurance? What if you want to start a business? Well, if you want to get on the fast track to do all that and more, there's no better way than to come down to my January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar in Guatemala, Latin America. Yep, for 6 days and nights, you'll be drinking from the fire hose with a lot of hand-holding by me and my Expat Insider team. And you know, since this show is going out on November 26th, you got a little less than a week to sign up and still take advantage of those early bird discounts. That's a $500 discount per person. Then on December 1st, we're back to the regular pricing. So sign up. You absolutely will not regret it. Just go to thenewexpat.com website and click on Johnny's seminar link. And while you're there, check out those famous John Galt pre and post seminar tours. They're optional, but always recommended, especially if you're looking to find the absolute best place to live, work, play, and or do business in my favorite Altiplano region in Latin America. And you know, a lot of gringos and expats say, Johnny, what would be your plan C? You know, everybody's got to have a plan B. Well, I've got one, of course. Had it a long, long time. But What if my plan B were to crash and burn? What next? What would be my plan C? Well, if you take one of those John Galt trips, you'll know what my plan C would be. Then what about a plan D if the plan C crashes? Oh, we could keep going with this, couldn't we? But it's enough to say everyone needs an insurance policy. That would be your plan B. So just go to the newexpat.com website, click on Jenny's seminar link, and see what it's all about. Sign up information, all details are there, plus the itinerary. And if you just can't make it down to the seminar or get boots on the ground yourself, which you'll eventually have to do, you know, you really must take my Expat Essentials course. Wondering about your own ducks and how to get them lined up? This course is perfect for you. So do check out my 9-hour video course at expatplanb.com. And as for those one-on-one phone or Skype consults with me, you know, you get a free one if you sign up for the Expat Insider Seminar. Otherwise, just go to the newexpat.com website, click on the phone consult link, and download my questionnaire. It's free and it will help you sort things out. All right, moving on. I was talking about bottled water before. Water is a big question on the minds of so many people down here in Latin America, especially since all the lakes and rivers are polluted. Aren't they everywhere? You've heard me say many times it's not a good idea to be on city water or municipal water, not if you can help it, for a lot of reasons, mostly because it's only on part-time. That should be reason enough. You see, there's very few municipal water supplies in Latin America that give you service 24/7. And the cities and towns that once did and used to brag about it aren't bragging so much anymore, like many places in Costa Rica, for example. And when I hear tourists and fresh green gringos say, "But Gianni, the water pressure's excellent where I am at my hotel, whatever, and it's got to be municipal water." Well, yeah, because down here, when you have a decent business, you want to have water 24/7, so you buy a cistern, generally on the roof, that slowly fills up with water when there is decent water pressure. And then when there is no water pressure flow, there's a sensor that kicks in an auxiliary pump that immediately starts pulling water from the cistern without skipping a beat. So it appears there's never a loss of flow and pressure. A lot of gringos and expats are fooled by that. So picture this, you've got a big plastic cistern on the roof, holds maybe 250 gallons. And let's say, for example, you got water pressure 8 hours a day. Well, you're not using it all the time during that 8 hours. Nobody does. Meanwhile, your cistern has one of those floats in it, like a toilet tank. It always wants to be topped off. So during that 8 hours that you have water, it fills until it's topped off. Then the float closes the intake valve, and the cistern's ready to feed water into your system when the municipal water shuts off. I hope that explains it, because a lot of people said, "Johnny, if I have a cistern on the roof, how does that help me? How does that get filled?" Well, just explained it to you. So really, that's the only alternative you have if you live in a densely populated area or a city, because then you're certainly going to be on municipal water. Or as you know, or maybe you don't, studies here in Latin America show that half of all the municipal water is wasted before it ever gets to your faucet due to cracks and leaks in old piping under the city. Which is why sometimes when you're driving around, you'll see wet patches here and there. It's just a slow leak in a water pipe that's close to the surface. Again, it's all about the fact that whatever government does, they up. They can't do anything right. They can never do anything right. Except waste time and manpower and pick your pocket, of course. Sound familiar? Now, the permanent solution to not being on municipal water is to live in a gated garden community, because they almost always have their own private well. Or if you homestead or live out in the boonies and have a decent-sized lot, you can dig your own well and always have water. In any case, you can supplement your water in a big way by just diverting rainwater off your roof into a cistern. But if you're renting, it's not your property. And if your landlord doesn't live on the premises, he's probably not going to go for it. It's going to cost a few bucks to do that. Not much, but any extra cost for a landlord down here in Latin America is usually out of the question, unless you kick in the dough. Which brings me to an email from a gringo I know living here in Latin America talking about his own water problem because he's on municipal water. Now listen to this. He says, "Don Johnny, as much as I like my furnished apartment, the one I'm renting, and the husband and wife landlord team that administers it, I'm growing tired of the intermittent water problems. You see, for about half of the last year, water keeps shutting off and turning on, shutting off and turning on. I believe something in the municipal plumbing system is broken. Occasionally, no water is available to my village or the one across the street from me. And yes, I do have a water tower cistern here. Now, for me, if the water would just last 8 straight days, But the water flows pitifully slow when I'm taking a shower. Outside of that, I guess it's okay. As far as hot water, I was letting the water run until it warmed up. But since this water problem occurred, I thought I'd better get used to taking cold showers. And then he says, if someone has an apartment or a house to rent that happens to be furnished, had a solar hot water heater and a more consistent flow of water, I really would consider moving. However, something like that might not be available, so this may be the best I can get for a while. Any ideas, Johnny? Signed, Edgar. Well, Eddie, let me fill you in on the solar hot water situation here. There are lots of little solar hot water units popping up everywhere. You can see them on the roofs. Always, of course, in higher-end neighborhoods. They're the only ones that can afford that kind of stuff, even though they are very cheap. In fact, one gringo friend of mine who rents in a nice gated garter community, he has a solar hot water heater, was there when he moved in, was working fine for the first year and a half. Then he phoned up and said, Johnny, I don't get it. Not getting any heat out of this thing anymore. So being a nice guy, sometimes I popped over there, got up on the roof, no real fear because most roofs in Latin America are either flat or nearly flat, and I checked the unit, no leaks or anything, except it was so completely covered with dust, pollen, spider webs, and grunge that there was very little solar energy getting into the tubes and heating the water. So I told my friend to get a hose, a big bucket, some laundry soap, and a long bristle broom, and it took about 5 minutes to clean those long, sleek black tubes. Surprise, surprise, in 2 or 3 hours, he took his shower and it was so hot he couldn't take it. The moral of that story, Latin American mañana time maintenance strikes again. So yes, Edgar, you can find furnished places with solar hot water heaters. I know a few gringos living in such places. However, the real answer for you is to move into a gated, guarded community that has its own well. Almost all of them do. Then you'll have a nice, powerful stream of water 24/7. And as far as solar water heaters, yes, they're popping up everywhere. But I'd say 95% of them are for the owners of private residences, not for rentals. Though, like that story I just told, they are out there. So bottom line, you rent a place in a gated guarded community, and if it doesn't have a solar hot water heater, if it's just you or two people, you can get a small one. It costs you maybe $600 or $700 complete. The landlord won't mind. In fact, it'll add value to the property. But make sure you write up a little contract with the landlord that says if you leave, he's got the option to buy the unit from you, leave it up there, or you can disassemble it and take it with you. After all, you bought the thing, and by the way, those things are extremely easy to disassemble and move. Would take 2 guys all of a half hour.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.